Say to Reverend Goodman, I thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for getting up every morning and getting on the line.
Amen.
Whether there's two there or 22 there, I thank you for being faithful and diligent. And you know, y'all see the smiles, but I'm hard on her. And I thank you for loving me enough and trusting me enough to stick it out.
Amen.
It's in love that the Lord has a tremendous call on your life. And it's going to take everything that it's taken so far and a little bit more.
Right.
But just hold on.
Hold on.
Just hold on just a little while longer. Amen. Is that all right?
It's all right. Amen.
Sometimes you got to speak to folks publicly, not just in private. Is that all right? All right. I bless you. We read in your hearing this morning the whole second chapter of the book of Joshua. And, you know, in school they cautioned us on reading large passages of scripture on Sunday morning because people will not pay attention to the end. And I take the stand that on Sunday morning is sometimes the only time that y'all will crack your Bible open. So we gonna read it, amen. So we read in your hearing today about an interesting set of circumstances. And you know, when I was young, I remember, you know, hearing a noise in the house, and you know, my parents would say, stay in the house. Ladies, if you're married to anybody who is of at least a little bit a good account, amen, if you hear a noise in your house in the middle of the night, if you married to a good, strong man, he'll say, stay right where you are. Stay in the house. I'll go check it out. Or am I right about it? And I didn't understand when I was little, you know, because I grew up in the woods. And when we would hear a noise, sometimes it would be a bear. Sometimes it would be a coyote. I mean, I was in the woods, y'all. And my grandfather would get his 357 and he would click, 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 click and get up to go see what was happening. But he would always say, stay in the house. And you know, being a nosy kid and one that had to be told numerous times to do something, I didn't understand why he was always telling me to stay in the house. And you know, as I came to grow and get older, and then when I came into ministry, and then when I stumbled on this passage of scripture, I realized that there is safety in the house. I realized that there is security in the house. I realized, see, y'all don't even know what to shout. I realized that there was protection inside of the house. I wish y'all would get with me. Yeah. Because on the outside of the house is danger.
Yeah.
Come on, and we read in this passage of scripture there was a strict command given, somebody get with that fan, to stay in the house.
Yeah.
And it's found in the text that we read, the Israelites, now there were almost 3 million of them. They were camped next to the Jordan River. We read about it. Across the Jordan stands the city of Jericho. And Jericho was surrounded by two large protective walls. And from the top of Jericho's walls, you can see the Israelite camps. You can see their tents. You can see their campfires and more people than you have ever seen congregated in your life. And they were about to attack. Stay with me. Then two of them, we read it, they were spies. They show up in the city,
yes, sir.
Inside the walls of the house. So imagine, if you will, if this happened in your house. You would be scared for your life, would you not?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't dare turn them in because you know who they are. Mm-hmm. And you know whose they are. And you don't want to anger the God that you heard so much about,
amen,
how he worked with these folks. Am I right about it?
Amen.
You would quickly hide them on the roof. And when the soldiers came to the door, you'd send them on a wild goose chase because you didn't want to anger the God of the Israelites.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. That's what we read today.
Yes, sir.
You would send the spies out safely. But you would beg them to spare you and your family when they finally attacked. The spies, we read, they agreed to this, but they gave a stern warning. They said, when we attack, stay in this house. Come on, man. I'm gonna preach to myself. Is that all right? Stay in this house. He said, if you want to be safe, get in the house. So for Rahab and her family to be safe, they had to get in the house. The spies said in the Bible, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst lay us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household unto thee. Literally, they said, stay inside your house. See, I'm going to talk to myself. I don't know about anybody else, but as for me, I'm going to stick in the house. Come on, somebody. So Rahab here in this passage of scripture found her family. She brought them in the house with her because she wanted them to be saved. She wanted her family to be saved. Is there anybody that's with me? To refuse to come into the house was to refuse salvation. To refuse to come into the house was to bring a death sentence on themselves. Are you making the connection where I'm trying to go with this? To refuse to come into the house is to refuse salvation. To refuse to come into the house is a death sentence on yourself. To refuse to bring other folks into the house with you just doesn't make sense. You recall Paul experienced something like this as well when he was shipwrecked, right? He was close to Crete and a storm rose up and the ship and all those on grew fearful for their lives and the boat began to break apart because of the strong storm.
Yeah.
You know, and we say unless you abide in the ship, you can't be saved because there was safety
by staying with the ship. Am I right about it? See, you can take your chance if you want and jump overboard. Come on, somebody. You can take your chance and jump overboard. You can take your chances and try to survive on your own. But the only safety that was provided was by staying with the ship. As for me, I am going to stick with the church. Because today you have to understand we need to stay on the ship. The old seasoned saints used to call it the old ship of Zion.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I heard them, they used to sing, it has landed many a thousand. And they would say, get on board, get on board, get on board.
Yes, sir.
Y'all aren't talking to me. Oh, yes. To be saved today, you need to be in the house. Come on, somebody. The house, according to Acts 2 and 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Yeah.
See, we are surrounded, Reverend Goodman, by enemies who are ready to destroy us. And the only safety we have is in the house. Come on, somebody. See, come on, somebody. See, this was more than just a virus. This would, it may have started out as a virus, you know, like anything start out, and then there are opportunistic things that come along and attach themselves to it in the name of something else, right?
Yeah.
So we ended up with a virus, and Satan said, well, this is my way to get folks out of the ship. This is my way to get folks out of the house. This is my way to get folks clamped up inside their little house with each other and let them pick at each other and pull them apart. And before you know it, everything is in chaos. You have to stay in the house. Salvation is found in the church because it is the house of God. It is the body of Christ. To reject the church is to reject salvation.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I'm going to say it. To reject the church is to bring destruction upon yourself. If you're not in the house yet, you need to get in. And if you're in the house, why aren't you trying to bring other folks in with you? Come on now. If you're not in it, get in it. If you're in it, why aren't you bringing other folks with you? See, we can't do it because we got one foot in the house and one foot out of the house. Oh, come on. I'm talking to somebody. Sometimes, so, look, it catches both. It catches us all sometimes, right? Sometimes we respond to things that aren't exactly in the Bible. We got one foot in and one foot out. And it's hard to bring folks in when they see you half out. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we are content to think, well, I'm saved. So it doesn't really matter about anybody else. Folks, we have a mindset of I've got mine, you go and get yours. And could you imagine if Jesus had dealt with us that way? I got mine, you go get yours. Come on, somebody. It's difficult to get people into the church in this day and age because the church is still very misunderstood. You know, but listen, with all of its problems, I've made up my mind I'm staying with the church. You know, there are some false pictures that people have of the church today. Some view the church as a gas station, a place where you fill up your spiritual tank when you're running low, you get a sermon, and then you keep it pushing. And we don't hear from you. We don't see you. We don't hear anything on Facebook. We don't hear, you know, a text message or nothing from you until your tank run low again. That's a gas station mentality. And that doesn't work. Amen. And some folks, they look at the church as a movie theater, a place that offers entertainment. You go there for an hour of escape. You get a comfortable seat. You leave your problems at the door. You come out smiling and you feel better than you did when you went in until hell breaks loose in your life. Then you find out you don't have a foundation because your pastor haven't taught you anything. And then you get into a spot where you don't understand where to go, what to do, how to act, and you have a poor relationship. Some folks look at the church as a drugstore, a place where you can fill a prescription to deal with your pain. And for some, the church is therapeutic. But look, eventually the medicine run out. And if you've gone through all of what the doctor has told you to do, he may not refill your prescription. Come on, somebody. And sometimes we look at the church as a, we've heard this term lately, a big box retailer, where we see the church as a place that offers the best products in a clean and safe environment for the family. The church offers a great service at a low price, all in one stop. And for many places and people, the church is a producer of programs for children and young people. Church sometimes is used simply as a daycare. I remember growing up in church, Vacation Bible School was full of children we've never seen before in our lives. Never ever saw their parents. They never came to church. They dropped them off. It was daycare. They got their meals. They came back. They picked them up. And if we were lucky, they would come to the final program at the end. But after that, we didn't see them anymore. Am I right about it? But can I tell you that the church is more than any of those things? That's a distorted view of the church and why it was birthed and what it was actually birthed to become. I'm going to talk to you today. A high proportion of people who go to church have forgotten what church is really about and what it's for. Week by week, we attend services in a special building and we go through time-honored routines and rituals, but we give little thought to the purpose of what we are doing. The Bible talks about the church as being the bride of Christ, but the church today seems to be more like a ragged Cinderella, and it needs to kind of reaffirm that there are some non-negotiable essential elements that God has designed for us to be, and that's committed to him and not a denomination, committed to him and not a district, committed to him and not a pastor, committed to him and not the leaders, committed to him and not programs, committed to Christ who died for the church. Come on, somebody. But I'm staying with the church. The church in the building, it's a body of true believers. Come on, somebody. If this place burnt to the ground, we would still have church. Come on, somebody. The church is a body of believers. We can have church in the funeral home. We can have church on the sidewalk. This is pretty, but it's not the church. Come on, somebody. Y'all are here. There's a business aspect to the church, but it's not a business. It's the bride of Christ, chosen by the Father. Y'all should have shouted right there. It is not a corporation. It is a congregation of Christ followers. It is not a fundamental institution. It is a family. It is a flock. It is not led by a CEO. It is led by a shepherd. It is not built by executives. It is built by Christ alone. I'm talking about the church today. Come on, I need to talk to y'all today. The church is built on Christ, built from Christ, and built by Christ. And that's why the songwriter said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. And that's why we should love the church. Come on, if we truly love Christ, shouldn't we be committed to what he was committed to? Oh, come on. If we think it's going to rain, it doesn't have to rain. If we think it may rain on Sunday, we have already got an excuse why we're not coming in to fellowship on Sunday. Am I right about it? If we think it's going to be hot, we won't come to church on Sunday. Well, I want to just drop this note for you. Hell is hotter. And it's forever. And if you ain't right, you will go there. Oh, come on, somebody. If Christ's major commitment until he comes again is to be building his church, then we should be building the church.
Yeah.
If we deeply love him, we cannot be indifferent to his body. Come on, which is inseparably joined to it, which is why I struggled for a brief moment on what to do. Come on, somebody. I struggled for a second. What do I do? I made phone calls when I should have just really got on my knees. Made phone calls. What are you doing? Well, what are you doing in Harrisburg? What are you doing over there? What are you doing over there? Because I struggled with it. But I had to come back and be reminded, come on, somebody,
yes, sir,
that we are a body and it need that the doors of the church should not be closed.
Amen.
What example does that set? When we need the church more than we ever needed it before, and we slam the door shut and go run home and hide. But the same folks who slam the door shut, you see them in Walmart. The same folks that slam the door shut, you see them on the golf course. The same folks that slam the door shut, you'll see them out at Cedar Beach and around the front. Don't make no sense. I'm sticking with the church. And cynical and critical about the church because of the past experiences of how somebody has been treated by them. Come on, somebody. But we know that is not the attitude of Christ. Come on, somebody. We have this thing that we call, and the term irritates me, we call the church hurt. Right? The church didn't hurt you. Someone that went to church hurt you. Because if you go over to Main Gate and somebody hurts your feelings on Friday, you'll go back on Saturday with no problem. But if somebody look at you cross-eyed on Sunday, I ain't never going back into that church ever again a day in my life. Come on, let's be real about that thing. You know, I know that the church isn't perfect. And I know that this church isn't perfect, right? Come on, somebody. Church isn't perfect, neither are we. But thankfully, Christ doesn't care. Come on. And he doesn't share the attitude about how many of us have toward the church. He loves the church not because it is beautiful, but to make it beautiful. The problem that most churches face is not that they don't do anything, it's they do plenty. The problem is they're not doing the right things. Come on. There was a pilot that announced to his passengers over the intercom system, ladies and gentlemen, I have good news. The good news is we have a tailwind and we're making excellent time. The bad news is that our compass is broken and I have no idea where we're going. See, we could be flying in a direction, but if we don't know where we're going and what we're doing and why we're doing it, we're really just wasting our time. I would rather have a few committed folks than 200-300 busy folks. Come on, somebody. This situation is true of churches. There wouldn't be so many non-churchgoers if there weren't so many non-going churches. Come on, let's be real. You invite somebody to church, they'll give you a laundry list of reasons why they're not gonna come. And you can't argue with them because they're right. Right? In other words, many churches are either not sure what they're trying to do or where they're going, or they're not anywhere, or they're stuck or stalled. Right? You know, when we think about a car, you know, we need a battery recharged or replaced. We're either spinning our wheels, the engine is sputtering, or we get into a rut and we get stuck sometimes in neutral.
Yeah.
We get so caught up in the order of service. We get so caught up in what we're gonna wear. We get so caught up in what we're gonna sing. And we get so caught up in the ritualistic experience that we forget that we are the bride of Christ that was chosen by the Father, and we need to own up and step up and be worthy of that office.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with the church. In spite of the difficulties that face some of the churches today, I'm staying with the church. Come on, somebody. The church is unlike any other institution. It is profoundly deep. Come on, Penn State is concerned and focused on knowledge, but the church focuses on wisdom. We get knowledge from books and universities, but wisdom comes from God, and God is in the house. Come on, if you go to Sacred Heart, they're concerned about your body, but the church is concerned about your soul. In psychology, we studied a practice called deep psychology, but the church practices a deep faith. And because of our faith, we can call those things that are not as though they are. Come on, somebody. Because the church should be walking by faith and not by sight. An optometrist checks your eyes, but the church checks your heart. Scientist deals with facts, but the church sticks with faith. And as for me, I'm sticking with the church, somebody. Science will tell you in order to move a mountain, it will take earth-moving equipment. Will it not? If you need to move a mountain, it will take earth-moving equipment. It will take dynamite. It will take strategic placement and then blast to move that mountain. But I don't know. I think that if I remember right, I heard that Jesus himself said that if you have faith that is just the size of a mustard seed, that you can say unto the mountain, mountain, move, and that thing will jump out of the way. I serve a good God, and I'm sticking with the church. In the formative years in our country, the church was the only institution that gave people a sense of dignity and a sense of pride. Come on, I grew up with grandparents from the rural South. And my grandmother would say that the institution of the church would allow a man to walk behind a mule all week long and serve as a pastor on Sunday morning. It was the only place where you could work in the fields all week long and be chairman of the deacon board on Sunday morning. The church was a place where you could be a housekeeper or a domestic during the week and be president of the missionary society when you got to church on Sunday morning. We understand about degrees, but the church used to give us a sense of pride. The problem with the church today is because we've forgotten who we really are.
Yes, yes.
And we've gotten caught up in titles and degrees and I'm this and I'm that and I'm president of this and I've got this many followers and really all you need to do is come in and humble yourself.
Yes, yes, yes.
Seek the face of God and he'll come in and do the rest of the work.
Yes.
Church has never really been concerned about your social status. But do you have clean hands and a pure heart? The church is the only institution that Jesus is coming back for. Oh, come on, I wish I had some. Where is my amen corner? The church is the only institution that the Lord is coming back for.
Yes.
I'm going to repeat it till somebody understands they need to be in the house. The church is the only institution in which the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back here for. He's not coming back here for Bank of America. He's not coming back here for Air Products. He's not coming back here for a specific athlete or an actor. He's not coming back for sorority. He's coming back for his bride. A church adorned for her husband. A church without a spot or a wrinkle. Come on, somebody. If you're a spot, clean yourself up. If you are a wrinkle, iron that thing out and be ready because the Lord is coming back here.
Yes, yes, yes.
Come on, let's close this out. I'm going to tell you one more time. I have made up my mind that I'm staying with the church.
Yes,
the church, you know why? Because the church is the only thing that the Lord ever had to pay for.
Yes.
Come on, you missed that. The church is the only thing. Am I right about it, Elder John? The church is the only thing that the Lord ever had to pay for.
All right.
He stepped out of nothing on and onto something and spoke everything into existence, and he didn't have to pay for it.
All right.
He spoke a word and he hung the stars, the sun, and the moon, and it didn't cost him a thing. He spoke and he divided the water from the land and he didn't pay anything for it. He spoke the fowls, the animals, and the fish and the sea into existence, and it didn't cost him a dime. He took the dust from the ground and created man, and he didn't get a bill. He went into man's side, took a rib, and made a woman, and it didn't cost him a thing. My brothers and my sisters, when it comes to the church, it costs the Lord something. In Acts 20, it says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Come on in here. The Lord purchased the church with the shedding of his blood. The Bible reminds us, family, that Jesus purchased a people for his own possession. In Corinthians 6 and 19, the church is reminded, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Yeah. I'm going to stop there because I need to remind somebody that you didn't do it. Yeah. Come on, somebody. I need to remind somebody that you aren't worthy of it. Come on, I need to remind somebody that it isn't all about you. I need to remind somebody, you may be the president, the CEO, the HNIC, you may be whatever it is, but the Bible says that you are not your own. You were purchased. You were bought with a price. We understand the nature of possessions, right? When we purchase something, we expect to take possession of it. We own it. It doesn't belong to the seller. Even when we buy things on credit, like houses and cars, they're not really ours yet. We're making payments on them, but we still treat them like they're our own, do we not? We think that these are my possessions because I bought them. Well, the Bible says that Christ paid the price for us.
Yes.
Come on in here. We don't like to think like that, right? But he bought us. Come on. I was where my praying folk. He bought us.
Yeah.
He owns us. The purchase of his people was not on credit. It was paid in full at Calvary. Yeah. Ultimately, family, we are the church. Not this building, not this denomination. We are the church.
Yes.
Not the state convention. We are the church. The church is never a place, but it's always a people.
Yeah.
I wish I had some folks that understood that.
Come on.
It was never a fold. It was always a flock. It was never a sacred building. It was always a believing assembly.
Mm.
Come on, the church, come on. It's who we are.
Yes.
It's not necessarily where we pray. Mm-hmm. Right? Come on.
Yeah.
A structure of brick, marble, beautiful stained glass, right? They used to say that clothes make the man. Not really.
Yeah.
You can put lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
It's a pig with lipstick, right? Doesn't matter how pretty this building is, it doesn't make the church.
Right.
In short, Jesus didn't die for 41 South Carlisle Street. He died for you and he died for me.
Yes,
he died for his people. Come on in here. And the people who accept his forgiveness on his terms make up the church.
Yes,
and that's why I'm staying with the church. Come on, somebody. I know that things look shaky sometimes in the church, but I've made up my mind that I'm staying with the church, y'all. The enemy no longer fights the church from outside. It fights it from the inside. But I'm staying with the church. He's gotten in the saints and he's sowed seeds of envy and strife and it's caused division, but I'm still gonna stay with the church, somebody. There's too much quarreling, there's jealousy, there's anger, but I'm staying with the church. Come on, there's fractions and cliques in the church, but I'm gonna stick with the church. Sometimes there's gossip and arrogance and disorder, but I don't know about you, but I'm staying with the church. I know that there are schisms and there are little groups, but Goodman, I'm staying with the church. Some don't like the pastor, some don't like the deacons, some don't like the elders, but I'm gonna stay with the church. Come on, somebody. I've been a part of a church that split, but I'm gonna stay with the church. I've been part of congregations that are judgmental and leadership that is harsh, but I'm gonna stay with the church. church. The church is talked about, but I'm staying with the church. There's no other place that I'd rather be than inside of the house of God. Christ is coming back for a church. I'm staying with the church. Somebody say, I'm staying with the church. I dare you, get on your feet, say, I'm staying with the church. Because on Christ, the Son of God, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I don't know about you today, but I'm going to stay with the church. Hallelujah. My home is built on nothing less than Jesus, His blood, and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but holy, leaning on Jesus' name, on Christ, the Son of God. And in Him, I want to be found.
Yes, sir.
He's going to crack the sky. Every eye is going to see. Every knee, not just some, every knee is going to bow. And some of them are going to say, that's Jesus. And some of them are going to say, that's Jesus. In Him, may I be found. Do you know Him today?
Yes.
Come on, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ today? I'm staying with the church. There's no more time for excuses.
No, sir.
I'm staying with the church. Come on, somebody. Do you love the Lord today? Can you just give Him a hand clap of praise? Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm staying with the church. Come on, find another neighbor. Say, neighbor,
neighbor.
I'm staying with the church. Say it like you mean it. Neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm staying with the church. The doors of the church are open. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ in the full pardon of your sins?